tonight, my great need of the Lord's help.
I'm grateful that He's willing to be that help. Sometimes the things that the Lord gives us to say are encouraging and instructive. Sometimes the things that the Lord gives His ministers to say is hopefully a great loving appeal to souls. And I feel like maybe that's what the Lord has asked me to do here tonight. And I hope you can take it in just that way. Thinking about that song that was just sung, "Hangs My Helpless Soul on Thee."
That's right.
And that's where I've hung my hope for a number of years now. And it's still sure. And I'm very, very grateful again tonight for salvation. I read over here in Jeremiah the 18th chapter. In here, contained within this chapter, the first part of it anyway, is the picture. The Lord asked Jeremiah to go down to a potter's house and to look what was going on there. And he went down there and began to look. And the potter had a lump of clay on the wheel, was working with that lump of clay, and it looked like he was creating a vessel. And in the process of the creation of God and the creation of the potter, in the process of the creating work of the potter, the vessel marred. And I look across the congregation here and I don't know what's behind every face that's looking back. There is a God who does know. And there's a God who loves greater than I could tell you. And there's a God who knows the complexity of the wound and the mar that may be there. There's a God who knows the depth of the need and all the reasons why maybe there might even be a wound. I don't know. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart. It's very strong tonight. For some reason, I believe the Lord has asked me to talk about this. And I believe there very possibly is tonight here some souls that have some very deep wounds. Vessels more. And I don't know all the reasons why. I don't know all the ingredients that goes into lives. And I don't know what all happens. You see, it is God's will as the great master potter to take your life and mine and to begin to shape and mold and to make it into something so beautiful. He tells us, He said, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you. And my thoughts that I have toward you, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." In other words, He is saying to you and I have a very good plan for your life. My design for your life is that as you pass along through life and you feel my nudge on you and you feel me moving and shaping, that when I am through, if you'll just bend to my touch and flow with where I'm going with your life. If you'll just go along with me, I have a great plan. And when it's through and you look back and see what I've done, you're going to have such great pleasure that you have followed the leadings and the touch of the Master Potter. But there is an adversary who does not want that to happen in your life. And he will try his best to do and use every tool at his disposal to try to cause your life to mar and come to a place of such disappointment, such discouragement in your life, that you feel like there is absolutely no hope and no reason to go on. And there are people that have been hurt and damaged on this road that they have come to the point that they have given up. And many times when they come to that point, the devil doesn't just want them to give up. He wants them to take away from that experience some very deep bitterness, some very deep hurt. And he will try to get you to point your fingers at a lot of other people. And it's very possible that other people might be involved. But I want to tell you, they are not worth the value of your eternal soul tonight.
Amen.
The devil does not deserve a greater marring on your soul and on your life.
Amen.
And I want you to consider tonight where we are, every one of us tonight. The devil will work a long time if we let him to try to get us into a place where he can mar our soul. I want to tell you, I want to ask you tonight, let's examine ourselves and see if there's a place where the devil has been at work. And if he has, may the Lord help him to be identified tonight. And we reject him with a righteous vehemence. We realize exactly what he is trying to do. Because, folks, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our soul making heaven. It's not about whether we can have arguments to carry pain. It's not about those things. It is the devil would like to point us to all these intricate details. I'll confess to you tonight that I'm very human. And doing the best I know how, I don't always treat people when I come away. I haven't always done everything right. I've made mistakes. And perhaps there are folks here tonight that I've unintentionally harmed you or caused you to go away with something, with a hurt. I want to tell you, I'm so very sorry. But what I really, really want you to do is to look past me tonight and look on to Calvary. There is one there that says, if you'll just bring what you have, you put that lump of clay one more time in my hands.
That's right.
You see, the potter wasn't through when that vessel marred.
The
potter didn't say, oh, you evil, bad clay, I'm going to throw you away. Brother Nelson was talking about the 99 that was safe. But he said there was one that wasn't there. Jesus told that story. And you know why he told that? Because he wanted humankind to understand the great love of the Heavenly Father that wanted to find that one that had somehow gotten separated, off maybe falling off a cliff somewhere, off wandering around, I don't know, but they're in peril. And the one who loved them, the one who said, I don't want any to be lost, he's out hunting the crevices tonight. And he wants to shine the light of his love in your heart. He wants you to know without any doubt that He wants your lump of clay. Don't care how long it's been marred or how far you've gone or how you even feel that there may be absolutely no hope in your future. That's not the way God looks at it. And the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So He made it again. I hope you understand what that means. That means He is willing, He is waiting, and He is hopeful that you tonight will bring the broken pieces and all the scattered ideas in your mind, and you'll bring them to the Lord and say, if you can do anything with it, you have it.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, the Master hung on Calvary for that very purpose. He's waiting for that. And He wants to take all the pieces. He wants to begin to shape again. I don't care how long you've been away. I don't care. My father didn't always live a saved life. And I remember he was 50 years old. The Lord had been dealing with him. We were at a good gospel meeting. Message went forth. And we got up to sing, "Soon the Summer Will Be Ended." Brother Bobby Forbes was there. And I remember the burden that just laid so heavy on my heart for him that night. And I was about at the point of turning around and kneeling down at my bench to begin to pray when I caught out of the corner of my eye a man walking down that aisle heading for the altar. And it was my father.
Amen.
That night there was a day of jubilee. He'd been away for a long time.
Yes.
But that night the Lord began to pick up the pieces.
Amen.
And to begin to shape and to mold.
Amen.
And I want you to be encouraged tonight. I don't know how long or where you stand tonight. I really don't know what's behind the faces looking back at me this evening. But the Lord has laid this on my heart. And I feel like there is at least somebody here tonight the Lord wants this message to get to. The pieces that are in your life, the Lord wants. And He wants to begin to build again something. He wants you to know that the pieces that marred can again be made beautiful.
Amen.
And maybe the devil's saying right now, it's been too long. There's been too many things. Too much water's went over the bridge. Under the bridge, I don't know, there's no way of getting back, and I want to tell you that's what the devil is trying to say. But the Lord is saying to you, there is hope. There is salvation. Let's go on down here. The Lord was telling this to the prophet Jeremiah for a purpose, because He wanted His children, the old house of Israel, 6th verse, He said He wanted them to know that there was hope. You see, the house of Israel at this time had gotten so corrupt and so far away from the Lord. They were living to their own desires. They had filled themselves with selfish ways. They had begun to look to the gods of this world. And it was a very painful thing. It was very damaging to them. And it was painful to the Lord. He had bought them. These were His children. These were those He wanted. And He was saying, "Oh Israel, cannot I do with you as a potter? Give me that chance. Can I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as a clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." And then He began to say this. He said, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation? When I began to tell this people that I have I have devised judgment, that they are very close to a point of judgment in their life. When I, and he did that. Remember when he did that? Who did Job? Nineveh. The city of Nineveh. He sent there expressly to tell them that I have judgment lined up. You know why he told them that? Because he wanted them to know there was, if they would turn around, that he hoped they would turn around. And he tells that to you and I tonight. He hopes that we turn around. And so he says, oh, house of Israel, I want you to know, if the instant when they hear that I have proclaimed judgment on them, and if they'll just turn around, if they'll just turn to me, he said, I'll change what I've decided to do. And I'll turn and I'll bless them. And then he said, if that same nation decides to turn away from me, there is a judgment that will be on them. And I want to tell you tonight, the choice is in our hands. We can choose to come to the great merciful hands of God, or we can choose to take our life away in our own hands and grip it and go our own ways. And I want to tell you, there is nothing left then but the sure knowledge that there is destruction ahead of us. There is a scripture in the Bible that says, the wages of sin is death. And it is a fact that cannot be gotten around. We may feel like that I have the ability or the knowledge I have, I will not do it like everybody else before me has done. I will stay away from the deep dregs of life. But I want to tell you, there's still a fact that the wages of sin is only going to lead to death and destruction. I don't care how well you order your life, still the wages of sin is death. But that scripture's not done. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God wants you to know that tonight. He wants that to be proclaimed, that there is a gift that God is holding out to the broken lives. There is a gift that the Lord of God of heaven is holding out to those who have been marred or damaged. And the devil is trying to separate and to destroy. I want you to know, bring those marred places to the Lord. Let Him mold and shape and put back together tonight. Don't let the devil get that advantage. I was thinking also in connection with this idea of sin, there's a lot of people feel like that we can go after sin and we can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you can try to do that, but folks, I want to tell you, you're still going to reap a reward. And it's not a good reward. And I was thinking about how you and I are not designed to deal with sin. We're just not designed. God never intended for you and I to be affected with sin. It's kind of akin to this. We don't do well living underwater. I don't know of a human yet that lived well with being underwater. We don't breathe water very well. We die. I don't know of a human yet that climbed a tree and jumped out waving the wings. Now, the bird's designed to do that. The bird can perch in the tree and begin to wave its wings and just sail like that because God made him like that. But God didn't make you and I like that. And God didn't make you and I to deal with sin. We just don't do well with it. We look around you and see the great evidences all around. And if tonight we look within and begin to realize if we have taken the road of sin, we begin to actually assess what's there, we would have to say, it hasn't worked well for me.
That's right.
So then the Lord says, in the instant that you hear that, in the instant that you realize that I'm sick and tired of what I've become, if you'll just turn around, and if you bring that back to me, he said, I'll make it again. I'll make it again. I feel like I'd like to tell you another little reference It has been something that has been on my heart for quite a while. Preached about it. Maybe you've heard me say it. You remember the bones that Ezekiel saw? They were dry. They were greatly affected. Those lives were marred. They had been so dead and so marred, they were separated. And the Lord asked His servant, He said, "Can these bones live?" And He said, "Lord, Thou knowest." But you know what the ultimate answer was? Yes, indeed, these bones can live. And I hope somehow to get that very message that's contained also in this story. Yes, indeed, your dried up life can live again. Yes, indeed, there is a God in heaven that gave His Son expressly for the need of our souls. And He didn't do it idly. No, it accomplished its purpose. There was one that hung on Calvary for the purpose to destroy the works of the devil. And I want to encourage you tonight, wherever you are, wherever the Lord has found you tonight, I want to encourage you, if the Lord is calling to your heart, I want to encourage you tonight to come and bring the pieces and allow Him to put it back together. Put the lump, your lump of clay, put it in His hands, because there is a master potter that wants to begin to lovingly move and shape and cause you and I to have a wonderful life. This is the thoughts that He has toward you. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I want to encourage us tonight as we rise and sing a song. The Lord's dealing with your heart. I want to encourage you to come and give it to the Lord. Stand and sing number 420.